Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He's at once and for all kind of God. Right of Hebrews said he entered once into the holy place with his blood, and that did it. Hallelujah. Just one time. Glory to God. Once and for all. Praise the name of the Lord. Would you turn in your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 2? As you're turning, we will not have a Wednesday evening service because we'll be having a Friday evening service. And just encourage everyone to come be a part not only of the service down here, worshiping the Lord, but of the fellowship that follows. And someone's already mentioned this coming Sunday will be the first Sunday of a new year. We'll begin with communion. And let's just be praying that from the very first service of 2011, we'll see God's Spirit at work and folks saved and touched and moved as He works in our midst. Amen. I'm not going to have you stand tonight. I'm going to be reading the text as we preach tonight. And we've had a hiatus here several Sunday nights off, but I had begun talking about what the Holy Ghost is up to these days. Amen. You ever met somebody and what are you up to these days? Amen. What's the Holy Spirit up to these days? And tonight I want to talk about the message we read in the book of Acts about what it means. What it means. You know, last time we left, when those 120 in the upper room had just received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, all 120 of them were filled, tongues of fire upon their head as the Holy Spirit entered with the sound of a rushing wind. All 120 filled, all 120 spoke with other tongues. And the news got out, and from all over town, folks gathered to see what it was all about. And what they were saying as they came together where the 120 were was, what is going on? What is going on? Even several years ago, Sandra went to a new doctor, secured a new doctor, went to him, and he examined her, and I don't know, it wasn't really any medical need, but afterwards he asked for her and I to come to his office, and we were sitting there across the desk from him in his nice study there, and he was visiting with us, and he looked on her paperwork she filled out, and he said, "I see here that you are employed at Union Pentecostal Church." And I said, "Yeah, we're the pastors there." And he said, "Union Pentecostal." He said, "What's a Pentecostal?" I looked at him. I said, "Doctor, do you want the short answer or the long answer? Don't you wish I did that with the sermons? Do you want the short version or the long version?" Guess what he opted for? He opted for the short answer. And I said, "Doctor, to be a Pentecostal is to believe that all God did by the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, in the church, and through the church, He wants to do today." That's the short answer. All that God did by the power of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, in the church, and through the church, He wants to do today. Now, if that's the definition of a Pentecostal, who's a Pentecostal? Hallelujah. You know what I was doing in whatever rough form it was and short version that it was? I was given an explanation. That's what I was doing. What is a Pentecostal? You see, when that crowd gathered around and observed that phenomena of the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when they heard that 120 speak in tongues, they began to seek for and demand an explanation of what was going on. Never before had they seen folks speak in tongues, and they said, "What is this?" Look at verse 12 as we read. "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, 'What meaneth this? What is going on?'" Amen. We want an explanation. You know, I still believe God can do something that will astound folks, and they have to ask, "What is going on? What is going on at 1101 North Union Road? What is going on in that that family? What is going on in that individual? I want to ask a question tonight. When was the last time something went on that required an explanation? Hallelujah. When's the last time something happened? Amen. That there had to be an explanation beyond the usual, beyond the normal, beyond the human, beyond the man. I believe God wants to do something again that demands an explanation, where folks will gather in, backsliders, unsaved, cold and indifferent, and say, what in the world is going on? Hallelujah. That's what we need. I believe the real move of God cannot be explained by earthly explanations. It needs a heavenly explanation. And so what we have here in verse 13, first of all, we have the unbelievers offering an explanation. Some said, we'll tell you what is going on. These men are full of new wine. In other words, they're drunk. They're drunk. That's what's going on. That was the unbelievers' explanation of what was taking place. It was not an adequate explanation. It was not an accurate explanation. It was the unbelievers' explanation. But what I want you to notice is, even though they were wrong, they recognized that 120 was under the influence of something greater and something beyond themselves. They recognize it wasn't just those individuals speaking in tongues. They recognize that they were under the influence of some. They had the something wrong. They thought they were under the influence of alcohol. They had that wrong, but they recognize they were under the influence of something. Hallelujah. I believe it ought to be that way. I believe that folks ought to recognize that the believer is under the influence of something other than themselves. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I believe in Scripture that the presence of God can be so overwhelming that folks have staggered and fell on their faces. But some have said that the crowd was demanding an explanation because these 120 were staggering like drunk people, or acting giddy like drunk people, or laughing like drunk. I don't believe that. I don't believe they were acting like an old drunk. And the only thing we have here is that they were speaking in other tongues. And the reason they offer the explanation that they were drunk is because they had no explanation of how these people were speaking languages that they had never learned. Oh, and all of a sudden, they're going to get their explanation, because Peter is going to preach a message. Peter is going to preach a sermon. And the very first message of the first church, the very first sermon of the church in its birth, was an answer to the inquiry of what in the world was going on in the church. The first message was an explanation of the Pentecostal experience. I want to share something incidental here. Even there's other groups that don't believe in speaking in tongues for today. And one of their explanations is this: God gave the Holy Spirit to the 120, gave them different languages so they could preach the gospel, so that when the crowd gathered round, then everybody in the crowd with different languages would hear one of the 120 preaching the gospel of Christ. I'm talking about doctors with degrees after their name trying to explain away that it's not for us today, have said that the tongues was just for preaching the gospel. But Brother Lorito, they haven't read the text. The text said, first of all, when they spoke in other tongues, they weren't preaching, but they were praising God for His wonderful works. And then it says the preaching was done by Peter. And when Peter stood up to preach, the tongue talking stopped. Some folks need to get that too. The preaching of this word and the language of understanding is more important than the tongue talking. Amen. I've been there when I had to lift up my voice above it. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We don't have time to get into that tonight. But I want you to note, the gospel was never preached until Peter stood and preached it in a language that all could understand. And his message was an explanation of the Pentecostal experience, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the speaking with, oh, don't you have a longing for something to happen that demands an explanation? Glory to God. Amen. So this was the first message. You may have asked yourself at different times, what was the apostles preaching like? What did they preach like? I'm going to answer in one word. Amen. Their preaching was Jesus. We're going to see that tonight. I'm not going to hold you long when we get this foundation laid, but I want you to know, what was the apostles preaching like? We can tell right here from Peter's first sermon, it was Jesus. Jesus. Amen. It seems like a lot of folks have want to move on beyond that to some new thing, but I believe all we need is the preaching about Jesus. Can you say amen tonight? Oh, Peter preached Jesus. That was what that first message was all about. What was in that preaching? First of all, there was an answer to what God was doing. There was an answer to what God was doing. Let's read on here. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. Here's the first part of his explanation. It isn't what you think. That's what he was saying. It isn't what you think. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. He's, yes, something's going on. Yes, these people, these 120, are under the influence of something, but it's not what you think in your carnal reason, in your unbelieving state. You think they're drunk, but it's only the third hour of the day. The third hour of the day is 9 a.m. It wasn't that they couldn't necessarily find a tavern open at 9 a.m. It was back then the alcohol was such that you had to drink for several hours on end before you got drunk. And what Peter was saying, even if a tavern was open, even if these had have begun drinking when they got up, they haven't been up long enough to even get drunk. This old world's wine. But he said, this not what you think, but I'm going to tell you what it is. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes what goes on, it's not what the world thinks, and they don't know what it really is. Glory to God. I know maybe some folks think it's backwoodsy, but they used to sing that song, something got a hold of me. I went there to fight, but oh my, that night, something got a hold. They thought it was play acting. They thought it was just emotion. They thought it was manipulation by the preacher, but they went and found out it wasn't what they thought. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then Peter not only said it's not what you think, he said it matches the book. Oh, this is important to me. It matches the book. He said what you are seeing is that which is in the Bible. It's that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I want to tell you as your pastor, if it's not in the book, it ain't real and it ain't right. I want to see a move, God. I want to see the Lord do a new thing, a fresh thing. But the only thing I want is what's in the book. Oh, hallelujah. How many wants what's in the book? Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's enough in the book that we need to have, we don't have, without seeking some weird thing that's going on. Ever so often there's a new revival going on with something weird going on. I'm telling you, if it's of God, it's not weird. It's pointing to Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, if it's real, it's not weird. It's pointing to Jesus. He said, it's in the book. That's all we want. And then he said, it's what has been promised. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Amen. It's a promise. It shall come to pass. How many know that all of God's promises come to pass? Hallelujah. It's a promise. It's what's promised. It is for, and it marks the beginning of the last days. Amen. It is for and marks the beginning of the last days. He said, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. It's what God has planned. It's what God wants to happen. Amen. Peter isn't just saying, aha, God did what he said he was going to do by pouring out the Spirit. Peter is saying, what he is saying is, this is what God had planned for his people. It's what God has done for this 120, and it's God's will and God's plan for the last days. I want you to know, when did the last days begin? It began with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Peter's saying a whole lot in a few words. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. It's in the book. And he said, it shall come to pass in the last days, the birth of the church, when she was baptized in the Holy Ghost, began these last days. Oh, can you say amen? And it's what God wants to happen as long as we're in the last days. God desires to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. It's his plan. It's his will. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out of my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Oh, if we'd have time, we'd talk about all the groups there. No social distinctions, no educational distinctions, no gender distinctions. It's going to be upon all flesh. No age distinctions. Your old men and your young men. Oh, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit outpour is for everybody. Oh, would you like to see him fall from the youth section all across the building? It's for these last days. Hallelujah. And so in Peter's message, first of all, we have an answer to what God was doing. Secondly, we have an alarm to all, to everyone, and to all of the coming end. Listen, Brother Dale, in the first sermon of the church, Peter preaches about the end time, about the things that's going to come on this earth. In the very first sermon, verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. The end time has always been a part of the true message. The end time has always been a part of the preaching of the gospel. That's what disturbs me so often today. There's no preaching of the coming in, but it's always been a part of the preach of Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit outpour began the last days, but the day of the Lord of judgment and his coming will end the last days. I said the outpour of the Spirit began the last days, but this notable day of the Lord, when the Lord comes with judgment, will end the last days. That's what Peter is saying. You know, there's a lot of folks today, and wherever you stand, that's not the point. Even that want to talk about global warming, and they want to say that man's causing it all. I've always logically withdrew from that because they meld the two questions into one. Amen. There's two questions there. Number one, is there global warming? Yes or no? But number two question is, does man cause it? And whether he does or not, what I see is they're so concerned that man's going to do something to destroy this earth, that man's going to do something to change the climate, when the Bible says it's not going to come from under the atmosphere, but the thing that's going to change this earth is going to come from above the atmosphere. Some of the scientists are wise to this. They say we need to be more concerned about a meteor hitting the earth than anything else. It'd be the most devastating thing. Amen. Global warming or not, the thing they ought to be concerned about is what's going to come from the heavens. What's going to happen in space? What's going to happen to the sun and the moon and the falling stars? The Bible has a lot to say about that. that. I'm just going to tell you what Peter was saying, is there is destruction coming, and that's going to end the last days. And that's why God poured out His Spirit, because as we prepare for the last days, as we head through the last days to that notable day of the Lord, the thing we're going to need is the outpouring of the Spirit. He said God began these last days with an outpour, but we're going to need the outpour every one of these last days until we get to the end time. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. We ought to be alarmed of the things that's going to happen in the heavens. We need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to get through the last days and prepare for the days, that day, that notable day of the Lord. He said, I'm going to pour my Spirit upon all flesh. Leave the scripture there. I'm going back for this reason. He pours His Spirit out upon all flesh. Flesh here isn't necessarily just people, humans. Flesh here is the fallen or the evil nature. Flesh here is the weakness of humanity, the frailty of humanity. And I'm glad to hear that He's going to pour out His Spirit upon my flesh, because that means He's going to pour out His Spirit upon my weakness, upon my frailty. And listen, if we make it through the last days, we need it more than our flesh. It's weak, it's frail. But if He'll pour the Holy Spirit out upon our flesh, we can make it through the last days prepared and triumphant. Secondly, or thirdly, wherever I'm at in Peter's message, there is an appeal to the lost to be saved. I'm talking about the very first message, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love this verse. And right in the middle of his preaching, Brother Steve, Peter's already making an appeal to the lost folks that have gathered for an explanation. He's already reaching for them. And he says, yes, the sun's going to be dark and the moon's going to turn, but I want you unsaved to know, if you'll call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. I believe it ought to be in our message. I try to get it in every message. Whatever I preach on, I want folks to know that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. On a December 26, 2010, the promise hasn't changed. If you're here and you're not saved, that applies to you as much as if Peter were preaching it tonight. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Get saved before that day comes. Get saved before these awful things that I've mentioned, Peter says, come. Oh, look at that promise. Whosoever, nobody left out, nobody excluded, nobody can say, I can't be saved, because it says whosoever. Oh, so call. If you're calling, you mean business. If you're calling, you're serious. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be, not might, could be, but shall be saved. Hallelujah. That first message had an appeal to the lost. And then in Peter's message is an announcement of what had happened to Christ and because of Christ. That was the core of his message. Years ago, I did a study to see what they preached on in the book of Acts. I went to every time they preached. And I looked and I tried to find out exactly what it was. It wasn't hard. Every time they opened their mouth to teach or preach, it was about Jesus. And in the first sermon, Peter announced what had happened to and because of Jesus. I'm going to make very few comments here. I'm just going to read and we're about done. But this is the core of the message. I want you to notice, even though the event was the outpour of the Holy Spirit, Peter did not preach about the Holy Spirit. Peter did not preach miracles. Peter did not preach prosperity. Peter did not preach seed faith. Peter did not preach human potentiality. Peter preached Jesus. And I'll tell you why. The thing people need more than anything, they just need an encounter with Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Are you glad to be saved tonight? Do you know him? Lift a hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he preached Jesus. I'm going to read it to you, but he's preaching how only Jesus could save us and what Jesus went through to save us. He's preaching how the Spirit was poured out because of what Jesus had done. Let's read together. Ye men of Israel. Oh, I told you I was just going to read it, but I'm already getting sidetracked. You men of Israel, hear these words. Get your pens out. What words? Get ready to take notes. What words? To live your best life now. No. He said, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. Notice how he begins the core of his message. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. You don't have to preach miracles, preach Jesus, and the miracles will come, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determining counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken of my wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaking concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Peter preaches on, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. In other words, these scriptures can't be referring to David. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that is the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul should not be left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. And this Jesus, oh, I want to preach this Jesus, not another Jesus, but this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, you want an explanation of what this is? They killed Christ, but God raised him up. He said, when I get to heaven, I'll send a comforter. I'll send you the promise of the Father. And we know that he made it because he received the promise of the Holy Ghost, and he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended to the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore he preaches, Peter preaches, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. What is this that is happening? Why are they speaking in tongues? Because Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, this comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. You killed him, he rose again, and we know he's at the right hand of the Father, because he poured out the Holy Ghost just like he said he would. Oh, hallelujah. What a message about Jesus. And Peter said he sits there, both Lord and Christ. I'm telling you, that's still the message people need. He is Lord. I said he is Lord. He has risen from the dead. He's Lord. He's Lord over every sin, every problem, every difficulty, every trial, every temptation. He's Lord. He'll save you if you'll make him Lord of your life. Last of all, in Peter's message, there's an altar call to repentance and to receiving. And I'm giving you the short version. Oh, because there's so much in these verses. But Peter begins in his message to give an altar call. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Notice how they went from what meaneth this, what is this, to what shall we do? That's what God wants to do with your lost loved ones and sinners you're witnessing to. He wants to take them from what is that to what shall I do? I want to be a part. I don't want to go through the judgment, and I want to have the salvation of Christ. Watch. I'm telling you, amen, that'd be a wonderful thing to pray for in our services, that when the unsaved come in, there'd be a presence of the Holy Spirit to prick their hearts to the point. There's no begging them to get right, but they're asking us, what shall we do to be saved? Their hearts were pricked. I believe God can prick the heart. Amen. Don't give up praying for your loved ones. Pray that God would prick their hearts. Said to Peter and the rest of his men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, he's going to give the altar call, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When I say some of the things I say with Adam C., I'm not doing them to be facetious or to attack individuals. I do it because I believe it's wrong by the Word of God. And there's been many in the last day that have said, you know, on national television, they don't believe preaching should have anything negative in it. It shouldn't mention sin. It shouldn't mention judgment or repentance. That's not true. I read again this past week in the gospel when John the Baptist came preaching. What does he preached? Repent. Jesus' first sermon. What is it? How did he open his sermon? Repent. Peter, the first sermon, Brother David, of the church, his message is repent. Why? Because repentance isn't some hoop God makes folks jump through before he takes them. Repentance is the way to God. Amen? If a person's away from God, there's only one way to God. That's through repentance. I'm sorry, God. You died for my sins. I confess my sin. Repent means to change the heart, to change the mind. You're just not sorry about the sin, but you don't want to live that way anymore. You recognize it for what it is. He said, repent and be baptized. We could talk a long time about this. In the name of Jesus, he wasn't given a formula to use those exact words. So that's fine to use them. Folks have got tripped up on that. To be baptized in the name of Jesus was to admit to every witness that you were submitting your life to the lordship of the name under whom you were baptized. If you're baptized in Jesus' name, that wasn't a formula. That was a statement. Jesus is going to be my Lord, and I'm going to be his servant. Hallelujah. Amen. You should be baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sins. Being baptized in water doesn't save you. The for here means because of the remission of sins. In other words, if your sins are forgiven, then be baptized to show that they are forgiven. And we won't beleaguer that tonight. But he said, if you'll repent, you can have the same thing you witnessed the 120 getting. Amen. Get saved, repent, get baptized in water, and you can receive the same thing you witnessed today. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. Verse 39. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We are to have what they had. Hallelujah. As many as are far off. We're the far off crowd. Amen. But the promise is just as much to us as it was to the audience that heard Peter preach that day. God wants us to have the same thing that they had. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. I want to tell you, folks, get to thinking that people don't want to be saved and don't want to be helped anymore. But I still believe there are folks that will gladly receive and hear. If we'll preach the truth, they'll recognize it for what it is. They'd be glad to hear it. How many believes that? I still believe, whether it's a young person sharing with a young person in the neighborhood at school, whomever it may be, I still think there are folks that will gladly receive. They're looking for the answer that Christ is. And the same day there was said unto them 3,000 souls. He said, save yourself from this untoward generation. Church, I think you'll agree with me. It's all about saving ourselves and others from this untoward generation. Every time we have church, every prayer meeting, every group meeting, every outreach, amen, what we're all about is saving ourselves and others from this untoward generation. Amen, church. It ought to be a great time. It ought not be a discouraging time. But church isn't a party place. Church isn't a place to have our psychology tweaked. Church is about salvation. Oh, hallelujah. How many can look and not say that I'm saved? I'm saved. Oh, that's what we're all about. I'm saved. Amen. We began tonight. They said, what meaneth this? What meaneth this? I mean, I begin to think, Brother Brad, of some of the services we had. Folks came in that weren't accustomed to church and they weren't accustomed to Pentecost. But we had a Holy Ghost service. Somebody give a message, tongues, interpretation. Folks began to rejoice in the Lord. Oh, people, their cups were running over. Oh, I love those times. I look at those folks, it's all new to them. Their eyes are wide open, their mouths hanging open. Amen. They don't know what in the world is going on. And I'm sure if you thought about it, you took notice, but I like those times. I don't think they ought to just sit there like it's not for them. And so I'll take Mike at the appropriate time and I'll say, you may be here tonight and you don't understand what's going on. You may not understand why your heart's a pounding. You may not understand why these folks are rejoicing, but let me tell you, and I'm going to tell them about salvation, about being washed in the blood, and I'll tell them the thing that you're feeling pulling at your heart. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you to the cross, drawing you to the, oh, I love it when I see that on their faces. What is this all about? And I'm able to tell them from the book what it's all about. I want to see that in service after service, don't you? Don't you want to see that? Amen. Something happening in the church that the unbeliever comes in and it's in all their face. I don't know what's happening. Somebody needs to tell me. The only thing I know is I want in on it. Oh, I thought, I've been reading through the Old Testament again. I thought of the time when God sent food from heaven, made that manna. It wasn't called manna yet. It was like hardened hoar frost on the ground. And the Bible said the people came out of their tent's door and they saw it. They didn't know what it was. And what they said? They said the word manna. You know what the word manna is? The word manna is literally, what is it? It came from heaven. They had never seen anything like, oh, it was going to feed them. It was going to nourish them. It was going to be their strength through 40 years in the wilderness. But when God first sent it, they said, manna, what is it? Oh, the Holy Spirit fell. It was going to get folks through the last days and prepared for the judgment. But when it first fell, people said, manna. What is, oh, don't you want God to do something in this place that we just have to look around and say, manna, manna, manna everywhere. Oh, it's going to nourish us. It's going to strengthen us. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, send the manna. Oh, God, send the manna. Amen. The church needs to be today what it's always been. The church doesn't need to be anything else but what we see it is in the book of Acts. If you need manna from above, would you stand right now? Hallelujah. Even my soul needs manna from above. Where could I go but the Lord? If you need manna tonight, would you reach your hands out to heaven and say, oh God, pour your spirit out upon me afresh and anew. Pour your spirit out upon me afresh and anew. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Oh, let's exalt Him across the building. Hallelujah. He's at the right hand of the Father. He'd pour out the Holy Ghost on you right now. Refresh you. Renew you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just going to close this service to say, if you need manna, if you need something fresh from the Lord, if you need something beyond the familiar, beyond the usual, you need manna. I want you again to come in these altars and seek the Lord and say, God, send me some manna. Send me some manna. Something that's going to nourish me, but something I have to say because it's so marvelous. I have to say, what is it? What is it, Lord, that you're doing? What is it, Lord, that you're saying this time? If you're here tonight and you're lost, amen, hear the promise one more time. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're lost, you'd call upon Him tonight. He'll save you. He'll cleanse you. He'll forgive you. He'll give you the assurance and the hope of heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, that's it. You want minute tonight. 1 minute tonight. Hallelujah.